You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Homeowners across the country are facing an average rates rise of 15% in the next year. Councils say they need to balance the need for investment with affordable rates increases, but that budgetary pressures have reached a tipping point. For our weekly interview, I spoke to ex-Simon Court about their party's stance on investing in local infrastructure amid the government reducing funding for public transport. Here is that interview.
So we've seen rates increases for homeowners which are being proposed across the country by local councils. Is this something of concern to you?
It certainly is, and that's because rates increases another pressure on affordability, on the household budget. And when we think about what the rates are meant to fund, infrastructure, services, picking up the rubbish, dog control, all of those things, the cost of everything has gone up, but the amount that rates have risen has far exceeded inflation. Last year was a record rates rise of around 10% on average, well ahead of inflation. This year, some councils are forecasting a 15 or even 20%. And so we have to have a good look at what's driving this.
Do you believe that councils are doing enough to keep rates down for homeowners?
Councils face some pretty stark pressures at the moment. If you look at the cost of delivering infrastructure, I think Local Government New Zealand last week released a report saying that the price of delivering a bridge has gone up by around 30%. And they also have other cost pressures to continue delivering services, which many communities have come to take for granted. But the problem is they haven't matched the cost of delivering their infrastructure and services to the amount of money they're collecting from ratepayers, residents and service users. So if you take a step back and look at the amount they're spending, it's actually increasing, but the amount of revenue that they're collecting has not. So councils face a crunch point, and that's where they're at right now, particularly in places like Wellington, where they've underinvested in their water infrastructure for decades, and now they've reached a point where the average age of their pipes is well over 50 years old, some of them well over 100, and they need to do large-scale renewals and replacements, which will cost hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over the next few years. So now it's crunch time. Do they raise rates, or do they look for other sources of revenue, such as in Auckland, we're used to having water meters. There's only one place in Wellington that has water meters, and that's the Kapiti Coast. Everyone else just sees the water running down the street and doesn't actually link that to the amount they're paying for water because they don't get a bill for water like we do in Auckland. What else could they do to minimise the pressure on rates rises? Well, Christchurch City Council has assets. Auckland Council has assets. Wellington has assets like their shareholding in their airport, many of which they deem to be strategic. But if you were a business owner or a homeowner and you were trying to balance the books, you just have to make a call. Are there some things that we can sell so we can use that money to invest in other things? Or are we going to pretend that having some shares in an airport is so important that we would never sell them, even though we're actually not able to afford to pay for the things we need? Now, that wouldn't make sense in a household or a business budget, and it certainly doesn't make sense from a local government point of view either.
Does the government have any plans to help the council meet its budget needs?
So one of the things I'm looking into in my role as Undersecretary for Infrastructure is what tools should be available or could we make better use of in local government. We have an Infrastructure Funding and Financing Act that was passed in 2020, which was meant to allow councils to raise money for large infrastructure projects. In Wellington, it's a new wastewater treatment plant, around about $400 million, but raise those funds from the private sector and hold them in what's called a special purpose vehicle, essentially a company set up for the purpose of funding a particular asset or program. Now, what that means is the users will still pay for it over time, but that debt doesn't sit on the council's books, and it just provides another opportunity for councils to raise money. Another thing the government will be looking into, and I'll be looking into in my portfolio, is this concept of sharing some of the GST collected by central government on things like building construction, for example, back with the councils where that building and where that residential development is occurring. Because councils have costs associated with that, and if they were to receive some revenue back from the centre associated with the development, then it could certainly incentivise them to go ahead with delivering their own infrastructure, but also looking at housing and development as a positive, rather than just having to be concerned with all the negatives, you know, the cost and the amount of time that councils take up with actually managing development in their areas. So, you know, better use of the Infrastructure Funding and Financing Act, and let's look at sharing some of the GST back from the centre, back to the regions where it was generated.
And how about funding public transport? What are the government's plans in terms of that that could help take some of the burden off councils to make it more accessible and affordable for people?
Well, unfortunately, the amount of money available for transport in general isn't keeping up with Kiwis' demands, particularly for better public transport. And the problem is that there is no more money to share from the centre. The National Land Transport Fund is limited by what it can collect from fuel excise duty, road user charges, vehicle registrations, for example. That fund is pretty tight. And in the government's draft general policy statement for land transport, it sets out public transport funding will be capped. And in fact, what we will need to do is increase the share of the fares paid by passenger back to around 50% on average. It's dropped to as little as 15%, I understand. And what that means is that the costs to councils and the cost to central government far outweighs the amount that passengers are paying, and that balance has to be struck. So I would expect that passengers will be paying more to use public transport, but again, you know, the cost of everything has increased, and it's only fair that passengers pay their share.
Those that use public transport are overwhelmingly lower income New Zealanders, and you've mentioned that they need to pay their share. Wouldn't you say that homeowners having increased rates to pay would be them paying their share, considering increased costs of living here in Aotearoa?
Well, I think the problem is that if you don't encourage the users to pay their fair share, then it's very, very difficult to justify ongoing funding at high levels from the centre. And while you might point out that, you know, generally lower income people, and they might be students, they might be people just starting out in their life of work, tend to use public transport more. And the alternative is they would have to use private transport, which means owning a car and paying for petrol, paying for maintenance, paying for insurance. So there are some real clear benefits in that trade-off between, you know, am I prepared to pay a slightly higher bus fare versus you know, am I going to invest in a private motor vehicle and have all of those costs? And I think we've just got used to this idea that there is an unlimited amount of money coming from the centre. That's what the previous government had promised New Zealanders, including students and young workers. It's not true. And now there is a reckoning where we actually have to work out how to pay for the things that we need and how much they're worth to us. Public transport is really important. But it's not something that can be delivered at no cost to the user.
And that was ex-Simon Court on rates rises affecting homeowners.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.